Thank you. He hangs up. I glance at Nora, whose eyes narrow at Christian. Taylor? I ask quickly. Christian nods.
Your blood pressure is normal, Mrs. Gray. I'll fetch the doctor.
She removes the cuff and, without so much as another word, stalks out of the room, radiating disapproval. I think you made Nurse Nora mad.
I have that effect on women.
He smirks. I laugh, then stop suddenly as pain radiates through my chest. Yes, you do.
Oh, Anna, I love to hear you laugh.
Nora returns with a pitcher of water. We both fall silent, gazing at each other as she pours out a glass and hands it to me.
Small sips now, she warns.
Yes, ma'am, I mutter, and take a welcome sip of cool water. Oh, my, it tastes perfect. I take another, and Christian watches me intently. Mia? I ask.
She's safe, thanks to you.
They did have her?
Yes.
All the madness was for a reason. Relief spirals through my body. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God she's okay. I frown. How did they get her?
Elizabeth Morgan,
he says simply. No. He nods.
She picked her up at Mia's gym.
I frown, still not understanding.
Anna, I'll fill you in on the details later. Mia is fine, all things considered. She was drugged. She's groggy now and shaken up, but by some miracle, she wasn't harmed.
Christian's jaw clenches.
What you did.
He runs his hand through his hair.
Was incredibly brave and incredibly stupid. You could have been killed.
His eyes blaze a bleak, chilling gray, and I know he's restraining his anger. I didn't know what else to do, I whisper.
You could have told me,
he says vehemently, fisting his hands in his lap. He said he'd kill her if I told anyone. I couldn't take that risk. Christian closes his eyes, dread etched in his face.
I have died 1,000 deaths since Thursday.
Thursday? What day is it?
It's almost Saturday,
he says, checking his watch.
You've been unconscious for more than 24 hours.
Oh. And Jack and Elizabeth?
In police custody, although Hyde is here under guard. They had to remove the bullet you left in him.
Christian says bitterly.
I don't know where in the hospital he is, fortunately, or I'd probably kill him myself.
His face darkens. Oh, shit. Jack is here?
That's for SIP, you fucking bitch.
I pale. My empty stomach convulses, tears prick my eyes, and a deep shudder runs through me.
Hey.
Christian scoots forward, his voice filled with concern. Taking the glass from my hand, he tenderly folds me into his arms.
You're safe now,
he murmurs against my hair, his voice hoarse. Christian, I'm so sorry. My tears start to fall.
Hush.
He strokes my hair, and I weep into his neck. What I said, I was never going to leave you.
Hush, baby. I know.
You do? His admission halts my tears.
I worked it out, eventually. Honestly, Anna, what were you thinking?
His tone is strained. You took me by surprise, I mutter into his shirt collar. When we spoke at the bank, thinking I was leaving you? I thought you knew me better. I've said to you over and over I would never leave.
But after the appalling way I've behaved.
His voice is barely audible, and his arms tighten around me.
I thought for a short time that I'd lost you.
No, Christian, never. I didn't want you to interfere and put Mia's life in danger. He sighs, and I don't know if it's from anger, exasperation, or hurt. How did you work it out? I ask quickly to distract him from his line of thought. He tucks my hair behind my ear.
I'd just touched down in Seattle when the bank called. Last I'd heard, you were ill and going home.
So you were in Portland when Sawyer called you from the car?
We were just about to take off. I was worried about you,
he says softly. You were? He frowns.
Of course I was.
He skirts his thumb over my bottom lip.
I spend my life worrying about you. You know that.
Oh, Christian. Jack called me at the office, I murmur. He gave me 2 hours to get the money, I shrug. I had to leave, and it just seemed the best excuse. Christian's mouth presses into a hard line.
And you gave Sawyer the slip. He's mad at you as well.
As well?
As well as me.
I tentatively touch his face, running my fingers over his stubble. He closes his eyes, leaning into my fingers. Don't be mad at me. Please, I whisper.
I am so mad at you. What you did was monumentally stupid, bordering on insane.
I told you. I didn't know what else to do.
You don't seem to have any regard for your personal safety, and it's not just you now,
he adds angrily. My lip trembles. He is thinking about our little blip. The door opens, startling us both, and a young African-American woman in a white coat over gray scrubs strides in.
Good evening, Mrs. Gray. I'm Dr. Bartley.
She starts to examine me thoroughly, shining a light in my eyes, making me touch her fingers, then my nose, while closing first one eye and then the other, and checking all my reflexes. But her voice is soft and her touch gentle. She has a warm bedside manner. Nurse Nora joins her, and Christian wanders to the corner of the room and makes some calls, while the two of them tend to me. It's hard to concentrate on Dr. Bartley, Nurse Nora, and Christian at the same time. But I hear him call his father, my mother, and Kate to say I'm awake. Finally, he leaves a message for Ray. Ray. Oh, shit. A vague memory of his voice comes back to me. He was here. Yes, while I was still unconscious. Dr. Bartley checks my ribs, her fingers probing gently but firmly. I wince.
These are bruised, not cracked or broken. You were very lucky, Mrs. Gray.
I scowl. Lucky? Not the word I would have chosen. Christian glowers at her, too. He mouths something at me. I think it's foolhardy, but I'm not sure.
I'll prescribe some painkillers. You'll need them for this and for the headache you must have. But all's looking as it should, Mrs. Gray. I suggest you get some sleep. Depending on how you feel in the morning, we may let you go home. My colleague, Dr. Singh, will be attending you then.
Thank you. There's a knock on the door, and Taylor enters, bearing a black cardboard box with Fairmont Olympic emblazoned in cream on the side. Holy cow! Food? Dr. Bartley says, surprised.
Mrs. Gray is hungry, Christian says. This is chicken soup.
Dr. Bartley smiles.
Soup will be fine. Just the broth. Nothing heavy.
She looks pointedly at both of us, then exits the room with Nurse Nora. Christian pulls the wheeled tray over to me, and Taylor places the box on it.
Welcome back, Mrs. Gray.
Hello, Taylor. Thank you.
You're most welcome, ma'am.
I think he wants to say more, but he holds off. Christian is unpacking the box, producing a thermos, soup bowl, side plate, linen napkin, soup spoon, a small basket of bread rolls, silver salt and pepper shakers. The Olympic has gone all out. This is great, Taylor. My stomach is rumbling. I am famished.
Will that be all?
He asks.
Yes, thanks,
Christian says, dismissing him. Taylor nods. Taylor, thank you.
Anything else I can get you, Mrs. Gray?
I glance at Christian. Just some clean clothes for Christian. Taylor smiles.
Yes, ma'am.
Christian glances down at his shirt, bemused. How long have you been wearing that shirt? I ask.
Since Thursday morning.
He gives me a crooked smile. Taylor exits.
Taylor's real pissed at you, too.
Christian adds grumpily, unscrewing the lid of the thermos and pouring creamy chicken soup into the bowl. Taylor, too? But I don't dwell on that as my chicken soup distracts me. It smells delicious, and steam curls invitingly from its surface. I take a taste, and it's everything it promised to be.
Good?
Christian asks, perching on the bed again. I nod enthusiastically and don't stop. My hunger is primal. I pause only to wipe my mouth with the linen napkin. Tell me what happened after you realized what was going on. Christian runs his hand through his hair and shakes his head.
Oh, Anna, it's good to see you eat.
I'm hungry. Tell me. He frowns.
Well, after the bank called and I thought my world had completely fallen apart.
He can't hide the pain in his voice. I stop eating.
Oh, shit. Don't stop eating or I'll stop talking.
He whispers, his tone adamant as he glares at me. I continue with my soup.
Okay, okay. Damn, it tastes good.
Christian's gaze softens and after a beat, he resumes.
Anyway, shortly after you and I had finished our conversation, Taylor informed me that Hyde had been granted bail. How? I don't know. I thought we'd managed to thwart any attempts at bail. But that gave me a moment to think about what you'd said, and I knew something was seriously wrong.
It was never about the money, I snap, suddenly, an unexpected surge of anger flaring in my belly. My voice rises. How could you even think that? It's never been about your fucking money. My head starts to pound, and I wince. Christian gapes at me for a split second, surprised by my vehemence. He narrows his eyes.
Mind your language, he growls. Calm down and eat.
I glare mutinously at him.
Anna?
He warns. That hurt me more than anything, Christian, I whisper. Almost as much as you seeing that woman. He inhales sharply, as if I've slapped him, and all of a sudden, he looks exhausted. Closing his eyes briefly, he shakes his head, resigned.
I know,
he sighs,
and I'm sorry, more than you know.
His eyes are luminous with contrition.
Please eat, while your soup is still hot.
His voice is soft and compelling, and I do as he asks. He breathes a sigh of relief.
Go on,
I whisper, between bites of the illicit fresh white bread roll.
We didn't know Mia was missing. I thought maybe he was blackmailing you or something. I called you back, but you didn't answer.
He scowls.
I left you a message and then called Sawyer. Taylor started tracking your cell. I knew you were at the bank, so we headed straight there.
I don't know how Sawyer found me. Was he tracking my cell, too?
The Saab is fitted with a tracking device. All our cars are. By the time we got near the bank, you were already on the move, and we followed. Why are you smiling?
On some level, I knew you'd be stalking me.
And that is amusing because?
He asks. Jack had instructed me to get rid of my cell, so I borrowed Whelan's cell, and that's the one I threw away. I put mine into one of the duffel bags so you could track your money. Christian sighs.
Our money, Anna,
he says quietly.
Eat.
I wipe my soup bowl with the last of my bread and pop it into my mouth. For the first time in a long while, I feel replete in spite of our conversation. Finished.
Good girl.
There's a knock on the door and Nurse Nora enters once more, carrying a small paper cup. Christian clears away my plate and starts putting all the items back into the box.
Pain relief.
Nora smiles, showing me the white pill in the paper cup. Is this okay to take? You know, with the baby?
Yes, Mrs. Gray. It's Lortab. It's fine. It won't affect the baby.
I nod gratefully. My head is pounding. I swallow it down with a sip of water.
You ought to rest, Mrs. Gray.
Nurse Nora looks pointedly at Christian. He nods.
No! You're going?
I exclaim, panic setting in.
Don't go. We've just started talking.
Christian snorts.
If you think for one moment I'm going to let you out of my sight, Mrs. Gray, you are very much mistaken.
Nora huffs, but hovers over me and readjusts my pillows so that I have to lie down.
Good night, Mrs. Gray,
she says, and with one last censorious glance at Christian, she leaves. He raises an eyebrow as she closes the door.
I don't think Nurse Nora approves of me.
He stands by the bed, looking tired, and despite the fact that I want him to stay, I know I should try to persuade him to go home. You need rest too, Christian. Go home. You look exhausted.
I'm not leaving you. I'll doze in this armchair.
I scowl at him, then shift onto my side. Sleep with me. He frowns.
No, I can't.
Why not?
I don't want to hurt you.
You won't hurt me, please, Christian.
You have an IV.
Christian, please. He gazes at me, and I can tell he's tempted. Please? I lift up the blankets, inviting him into the bed.
Fuck it.
He slips off his shoes and socks and gingerly climbs in bed beside me. Gently, he wraps his arm around me, and I lay my head on his chest. He kisses my hair.
I don't think Nurse Nora will be very happy with this arrangement,
he whispers conspiratorially. I giggle, then stop as pain lances through my chest. Don't make me laugh. It hurts.
Oh, but I love that sound,
he says a little sadly, his voice low.
I'm sorry, baby. So, so sorry.
He kisses my hair again and inhales deeply, and I don't know what he's apologizing for, making me laugh or the mess we're in. I rest my hand over his heart, and he gently places his hand on mine. We are both silent for a moment.
Why did you go see that woman?
Oh, Anna,
he groans.
You want to discuss that now? Can't we drop this? I regret it, okay?
I need to know.
I'll tell you tomorrow,
he mutters, irritated.
Oh, and Detective Clark wants to talk to you. Just routine. Now go to sleep.
He kisses my hair. I sigh heavily. I need to know why. At least he says he regrets it. That's something, my subconscious agrees. She's in an agreeable mood today, it seems. Ugh, Detective Clark. I shudder at the thought of reliving Thursday's events for him. Do we know why Jack was doing all this? Christian murmurs. I'm soothed by the slow rise and fall of his chest, gently rocking my head, lulling me to sleep as his breathing slows. And while I drift, I try to make sense of the fragments of conversations I heard while I was on the edge of consciousness. But they slither through my mind, remaining steadfastly elusive, taunting me from the edges of my memory. Oh, it's frustrating and exhausting and... Nurse Nora's mouth is pursed and her arms folded in hostility. I put my finger to my lips.
Please let him sleep,
I whisper, squinting in the early morning light.
This is your bed, not his,
she hisses sternly.
I slept better because he was here,
I insist, rushing to my husband's defense. Besides, it's true. Christian stirs and Nurse Nora and I freeze. He mumbles in his sleep.
Don't touch me. No more. Only Anna.
I frown. I have rarely heard Christian talk in his sleep. Admittedly, that might be because he sleeps less than I do. I've only ever heard his nightmares. His arms tighten around me, squeezing me, and I wince.
Mrs. Gray?
Nurse Nora glowers. Please, I beg. She shakes her head, turns on her heel, and leaves, and I snuggle up against Christian again. When I wake, Christian is nowhere to be seen. The sun is blazing through the windows, and I can now really appreciate the room. I have flowers. I didn't notice them the night before. Several bouquets. I wonder idly who they're from. A soft knock distracts me, and Carrick peeks around the door. He beams when he sees that I'm awake.
May I come in?
He asks. Of course. He strides into the room and over to me, his soft, gentle blue eyes assessing me shrewdly. He's wearing a dark suit. He must be working. He surprises me by leaning down and kissing my forehead.
May I sit?
I nod, and he perches on the edge of the bed and takes my hand.
I don't know how to thank you for my daughter, you crazy, brave, darling girl. What you did probably saved her life. I will be forever in your debt.
His voice wavers, filled with gratitude and compassion. Oh, I don't know what to say. I squeeze his hand but remain mute.
How are you feeling?
Better. Sore, I say, for honesty's sake.
Have they given you meds for the pain?
Lore something.
Good. Where's Christian?
I don't know. When I woke up, he was gone.
He won't be far away, I'm sure. He wouldn't leave you while you were unconscious.
I know.
He's a little mad at you, as he should be.
Carrick smirks. Ah, this is where Christian gets it from. Christian is always mad at me.
Is he?
Carrick smiles, pleased, as if this is a good thing. His smile is infectious. How's Mia? His eyes cloud and his smile vanishes.
She's better. Mad as hell. I think anger is a healthy reaction to what happened to her.
Is she here?
No, she's back at home. I don't think Grace will let her out of her sight.
I know how that feels.
You need watching, too, he admonishes. I don't want you taking any more silly risks with your life or the life of my grandchild.
I flush. He knows.
Grace read your chart. She told me. Congratulations.
Thank you. He gazes down at me, and his eyes soften, though he frowns at my expression.
Christian will come around,
he says gently.
This will be the best thing for him. Just give him some time.
I nod. Oh, they've spoken.
I'd better go. I'm due in court.
He smiles and rises.
I'll check in on you later. Grace speaks highly of Dr. Singh and Dr. Bartley. They know what they're doing.
He leans down and kisses me once more.
I mean it, Anna. I can never repay what you've done for us. Thank you.
I look up at him, blinking back tears, suddenly overwhelmed, and he strokes my cheek affectionately. Then he turns on his heel and leaves. Oh my, I'm reeling from his gratitude. Perhaps now I can let the prenup debacle go. My subconscious nods sagely in agreement with me yet again. I shake my head and gingerly get out of bed. I'm relieved to find that I am much steadier on my feet than I was yesterday. In spite of Christian sharing the bed, I have slept well and feel refreshed. My head still aches, but it's a dull, nagging pain, nothing like the pounding yesterday. I'm stiff and sore, but I just need a bath. I feel grimy. I head into the ensuite.
Anna!
Christian shouts. I'm in the bathroom, I call, as I finish brushing my teeth. That feels better. I ignore my reflection in the mirror. Crap, I look a mess. When I open the door, Christian is by the bed, holding a tray of food. He's transformed. Dressed entirely in black, he's shaved, showered, and looks well rested.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray.
He says brightly.
I have your breakfast.
He looks so boyish and much happier. Wow. I smile broadly as I climb back into bed. He pulls over the tray on wheels and lifts the cover to reveal my breakfast. Oatmeal with dried fruits, pancakes with maple syrup, bacon, orange juice, and Twining's English breakfast tea. My mouth waters. I'm so hungry. I down the orange juice in a few gulps and dig into the oatmeal. Christian sits down on the edge of the bed to watch. He smirks. What? I ask with my mouth full.
I like to watch you eat,
he says. But I don't think that's what he's smirking about.
How are you feeling?
Better, I mutter between mouthfuls.
I've never seen you eat like this.
I glance up at him, and my heart sinks. We have to address the very tiny elephant in the room. It's because I'm pregnant, Christian. He snorts, and his mouth twists into an ironic smile.
If I knew getting you knocked up was going to make you eat, I might have done it earlier.
Christian Gray! I gasp and set the oatmeal down.
Don't stop eating,
he warns. Christian, we need to talk about this. He stills.
What's there to say? We're going to be parents.
He shrugs, desperately trying to look nonchalant, but all I can see is his fear. Pushing the tray aside, I crawl down the bed to him and take his hands in mine. You're scared, I whisper. I get it. He gazes at me, impassive, his eyes wide and all his earlier boyishness stripped away. I am too. That's normal, I whisper.
What kind of father could I possibly be?
His voice is hoarse, barely audible. Oh, Christian. I stifle a sob. One that tries his best? That's all any of us can do.
Anna, I don't know if I can.
Of course you can. You're loving, you're fun, you're strong. You'll set boundaries. Our child will want for nothing. He's frozen, staring at me, doubt etched on his beautiful face. Yes, it would have been ideal to have waited, to have longer, just the two of us. But we'll be three of us, and we'll all grow up together. We'll be a family. Our own family, and your child will love you unconditionally, like I do. Tears spring to my eyes.
Oh, Anna,
Christian whispers, his voice anguished and pained.
I thought I'd lost you. Then I thought I'd lost you again, seeing you lying on the ground, pale and cold and unconscious. It was all my worst fears realized. And now, here you are. Brave and strong, giving me hope, loving me after all that I've done.
Yes, I do love you, Christian, desperately. I always will. Gently, taking my head between his hands, he wipes my tears away with his thumbs. He gazes into my eyes, gray to blue, and all I see is his fear and wonder and love.
I love you too.
He breathes, and he kisses me sweetly, tenderly, like a man who adores his wife.
I'll try to be a good father,
he whispers against my lips. You'll try, and you'll succeed. And let's face it, you don't have much choice in the matter, because Blip and I are not going anywhere.
Blip?
Blip. He raises his eyebrows.
I had the name Junior in my head.
Junior it is, then.
But I like Blip.
He smiles his shy smile and kisses me once more. Chapter 24
Much as I'd like to kiss you all day, your breakfast is getting cold.
Christian murmurs against my lips. He gazes down at me, now amused, except his eyes are darker, sensual. Holy cow! He's switched again. My Mr. Mercurial.
Eat,
he orders, his voice soft. I swallow, a reaction to his smoldering look, and crawl back into bed, avoiding snagging my IV line. He pushes the tray in front of me,
The oatmeal is cold, but the pancakes under the cover are fine. In fact, they're mouth-watering. You know, I mutter between mouthfuls, Blip might be a girl. Christian runs his hand through his hair.
Two women, eh?
Alarm flashes across his face, and his dark look vanishes. Oh, crap. Do you have a preference?
Preference?
Boy or girl? He frowns.
Healthy will do,
he says quietly, clearly disconcerted by the question.
Eat,
he snaps, and I know he's trying to avoid the subject. I'm eating. Jeez, keep your hair on, Gray. I watch him carefully. The corners of his eyes are crinkled with worry. He said he'll try, but I know he's still freaked out by the baby. Oh, Christian, so am I. He sits down on the armchair beside me, picking up the Seattle Times.
You made the papers again, Mrs. Gray.
His tone is bitter. Again?
The hacks are just rehashing yesterday's story, but it seems factually accurate. You want to read it?
I shake my head. Read it to me. I'm eating. He smirks and proceeds to read the article aloud. It's a report on Jack and Elizabeth, depicting them as a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde. It briefly covers Mia's kidnapping, my involvement in Mia's rescue, and the fact that both Jack and I are in the same hospital. How does the press get all this information? I must ask Kate. When Christian finishes, I say, Please read something else. I like listening to you. He obliges and reads me a report about a booming bagel business and the fact that Boeing has had to cancel the launch of some plane. Christian frowns as he reads, but listening to his soothing voice as I eat, secure in the knowledge that I am fine, Mia is safe, and my little blip is safe, I feel a precious moment of peace, despite all that has happened over the last few days. I understand that Christian is scared about the baby, but I don't understand the depth of his fear. I resolve to talk to him some more about this, see if I can put his mind at ease. What puzzles me is that he hasn't lacked for positive role models as parents. Both Grace and Carrick are exemplary parents, or so they seem. Maybe it was the bitch troll's interference that damaged him so badly. I'd like to think so, but in truth, I think it goes back to his birth mom, though I'm sure Mrs. Robinson didn't help. I halt my thoughts as I nearly recall a whispered conversation. Damn, it hovers on the edge of my memory from when I was unconscious. Christian talking with Grace. It melts away into the shadows of my mind. Oh, it's so frustrating. I wonder if Christian will ever volunteer the reason he went to see her, or if I'll have to push him. I'm about to ask when there's a knock on the door. Detective Clark makes an apologetic entry into the room. He's right to be apologetic. My heart sinks when I see him.
Mr. Gray, Mrs. Gray, am I interrupting?
Yes,
snaps Christian. Clark ignores him.
Glad to see you're awake, Mrs. Gray. I need to ask you a few questions about Thursday afternoon. Just routine. Is now a convenient time?
Sure, I mumble, but I do not want to relive Thursday's events.
My wife should be resting, Christian bristles. I'll be brief, Mr. Gray. And it means I'll be out of your hair sooner rather than later.
Christian stands and offers Clark his chair, then sits down beside me on the bed, takes my hand, and squeezes it reassuringly. Half an hour later, Clark is done. I've learned nothing new, but I've recounted the events of Thursday to him in a halting, quiet voice, watching Christian go pale and grimace at some parts.
I wish you'd aimed higher, Christian mutters.
Might have done womankind a service if Mrs. Gray had.
Clark agrees.
What? Thank you, Mrs. Gray. That's all for now.
You won't let him out again, will you?
I don't think he'll make bail this time, ma'am. Do we know who posted his bail?
Christian asks.
No, sir. It was confidential.
Christian frowns, but I think he has his suspicions. Clark rises to leave, just as Dr. Singh and two interns enter the room. After a thorough examination, Dr. Singh declares me fit to go home. Christian sags with relief.
Mrs. Gray, you'll have to watch for worsening headaches and blurry vision. If that occurs, you must return to the hospital immediately.
I nod, trying to contain my delight at going home. As Dr. Singh leaves, Christian asks her for a quick word in the corridor. He keeps the door ajar as he asks her a question. She smiles.
Yes, Mr. Gray. That's fine.
He grins and returns to the room a happier man.
What was all that about?
Sex,
he says, flashing a wicked grin.
Oh, I blush.
And?
You're good to go,
he smirks.
Oh, Christian.
I have a headache,
I smirk right back. I know. You'll be off limits for a while. I was just checking.
Off limits? I frown at the momentary stab of disappointment I feel. I'm not sure I want to be off limits. Nurse Nora joins us to remove my IV. She glares at Christian. I think she's one of the few women I've met who is oblivious to his charms. I thank her when she leaves with my IV stand.
Shall I take you home?
Christian asks.
I'd like to see Ray first.
Sure.
Does he know about the baby?
I thought you'd want to be the one to tell him. I haven't told your mom, either.
Thank you, I smile, grateful that he hasn't stolen my thunder.
My mom knows,
Christian adds.
She saw your chart. I told my dad, but no one else. Mom said couples normally wait for 12 weeks or so. To be sure.
He shrugs. I'm not sure I'm ready to tell Ray.
I should warn you, he's mad as hell. Said I should spank you.
What? Christian laughs at my appalled expression.
I told him I'd be only too willing to oblige.
You didn't! I gasp, though an echo of a whispered conversation tantalizes my memory. Yes, Ray was here while I was unconscious. He winks at me.
Here, Taylor brought you some clean clothes. I'll help you dress.
As Christian predicted, Ray is furious. I don't ever remember him being this mad. Christian has wisely decided to leave us alone. For such a taciturn man, Ray fills his hospital room with his invective, berating me for my irresponsible behavior. I am 12 years old again.
Oh, Dad, please calm down. Your blood pressure is not up to this.
And I've had to deal with your mother,
he grumbles, waving both of his hands in exasperation.
Dad, I'm sorry.
And poor Christian. I've never seen him like that. He's aged. We've both aged years over the past couple of days.
Ray, I'm sorry.
Your mother's waiting for your call,
he says in a more measured tone. I kiss his cheek, and finally he relents from his tirade.
I'll call her. I really am sorry, but thank you for teaching me to shoot.
For a moment, he regards me with ill-concealed paternal pride.
I'm glad you can shoot straight,
he says, his voice gruff.
Now go on home and get some rest.
You look well, Dad. I try to change the subject.
You look pale.
His fear is suddenly evident. His look mirrors Christian's from last night, and I grasp his hand.
I'm okay. I promise I won't do anything like that again.
He squeezes my hand and pulls me into a hug.
If anything happened to you,
he whispers, his voice hoarse and low. Tears prick my eyes. I am not used to displays of emotion from my stepfather.
Dad, I'm good. Nothing that a hot shower won't cure.
We leave through the rear exit of the hospital to avoid the paparazzi gathered at the entrance. Taylor leads us to the waiting SUV. Christian is quiet as Sawyer drives us home. I avoid Sawyer's gaze in the rearview mirror, embarrassed that the last time I saw him was at the bank when I gave him the slip.
I call my mom, who sobs and sobs. It takes most of the journey home to calm her down, but I succeed by promising that we'll visit soon. Throughout my conversation with her, Christian holds my hand, brushing his thumb across my knuckles. He's nervous. Something's happened. What's wrong? I ask, when I'm finally free from my mother.
Welch wants to see me.
Welch? Why?
He's found something out about that fucker Hyde.
Christian's lip curls into a snarl, and a frisson of fear passes through me.
He didn't want to tell me on the phone.
Oh.
He's coming here this afternoon from Detroit.
You think he's found a connection? Christian nods. What do you think it is?
I have no idea.
Christian's brow furrows, perplexed. Taylor pulls into the garage at Escala and stops by the elevator to let us out before he parks. In the garage, we can avoid the attention of the waiting photographers. Christian ushers me out of the car. Keeping his arm around my waist, he leads me to the waiting elevator.
Glad to be home?
He asks. Yes, I whisper. But as I stand in the familiar surroundings of the elevator, the enormity of what I've been through crashes over me, and I start to shake.
Hey.
Christian wraps his arms around me and pulls me close.
You're home. You're safe.
He says, kissing my hair. Oh, Christian. A dam I didn't even know was in place bursts, and I start to sob.
Hush now,
Christian whispers, cradling my head against his chest. But it's too late. I weep, overwhelmed into his t-shirt, recalling Jack's vicious attack.
That's for SIP, you fucking bitch.
Telling Christian I was leaving.
You're leaving me?
And my fear, my gut-wrenching fear for Mia, for myself, and for little Blip. When the doors of the elevator slide open, Christian picks me up like a child and carries me into the foyer. I wrap my arms around his neck and cling to him, keening quietly. He carries me through to our bathroom and gently settles me on the chair.
Beth?
He asks. I shake my head. No.
No, not like Layla. Shower?
His voice is choked with concern. Through my tears, I nod. I want to wash away the grime of the last few days, wash away the memory of Jack's attack.
You gold-digging whore.
I sob into my hands as the sound of the water cascading from the shower echoes off the walls.
Hey,
Christian croons. Kneeling in front of me, he pulls my hands away from my tear-stained cheeks and cups my face in his hands. I gaze at him, blinking away my tears.
You're safe. You both are.
He whispers. Blip and me. My eyes brim with tears again.
Stop now. I can't bear it when you cry.
His voice is hoarse. His thumbs wipe my cheeks, but my tears still flow. I'm sorry, Christian. Just sorry for everything. For making you worry, for risking everything, for the things I said.
Hush, baby, please.
He kisses my forehead.
I'm sorry. It takes two to tango, Anna.
He gives me a crooked smile.
Well, that's what my mom always says. I said things and did things I'm not proud of.
His gray eyes are bleak, but penitent.
Let's get you undressed.
His voice is soft. I wipe my nose with the back of my hand, and he kisses my forehead once more. Briskly, he strips me, taking particular care as he pulls my t-shirt over my head. But my head is not too sore. Leading me to the shower, he peels off his own clothing in record time before stepping into the welcome hot water with me. He pulls me into his arms and holds me for the longest time, as the water gushes over us, soothing us both. He lets me cry into his chest. Occasionally he kisses my hair, but he doesn't let go. He just rocks me gently beneath the warm water. To feel his skin against mine, his chest hair against my cheek. This man I love, this self-doubting, beautiful man, the man I could have lost through my own recklessness. I feel empty and aching at the thought, but grateful that he's here, still here, despite everything that's happened. He has some explaining to do, but right now I want to revel in the feel of his comforting, protective arms around me. And in that moment, it occurs to me, any explanations on his part have to come from him. I can't force him. He's got to want to tell me. I won't be cast as the nagging wife, constantly trying to wheedle information out of her husband. It's just exhausting. I know he loves me. I know he loves me more than he's ever loved anyone. And for now, that's enough. The realization is liberating. I stop crying and step back.
Better?
He asks. I nod.
Good. Let me look at you,
he says, and for a moment I don't know what he means. But he takes my hand and examines the arm I fell on when Jack hit me. There are bruises on my shoulder and scrapes at my elbow and wrist. He kisses each of them. He grabs a washcloth and shower gel from the rack, and the sweet, familiar scent of jasmine fills my nostrils.
Turn around.
Gently, he proceeds to wash my injured arm, then my neck, my shoulders, my back, and my other arm. He turns me sideways and traces his long fingers down my side. I wince as they skate over the large bruise at my hip. Christian's eyes harden and his lips thin. His anger is palpable as he whistles through his teeth. It doesn't hurt, I murmur to reassure him. Blazing gray eyes meet mine.
I want to kill him. I nearly did,
he whispers cryptically. I frown, then shiver at his bleak expression. He squirts more shower gel on the washcloth, and with tender, aching gentleness, he washes my side and my behind, then, kneeling, moves down my legs. He pauses to examine my knee. His lips brush over the bruise before he returns to washing my legs and my feet. Reaching down, I caress his head, running my fingers through his wet hair. He stands, and his fingers trace the outline of the bruise on my ribs where Jack kicked me.
Oh, baby,
he groans, his voice filled with anguish, his eyes dark with fury. I'm okay. I pull his head down to mine and kiss his lips. He is hesitant to reciprocate, but as my tongue meets his body stirs against me.
No,
he whispers against my lips, and he pulls back.
Let's get you clean.
His face is serious. Damn, he means it. I pout, and the atmosphere between us lightens in an instant. He grins and kisses me briefly.
Clean,
he emphasizes.
Not dirty.
I like dirty.
Me too, Mrs. Gray. But not now. Not here.
He grabs the shampoo, and before I can persuade him otherwise, he's washing my hair. I love clean, too. I feel refreshed and reinvigorated, and I don't know if it's from the shower, the crying, or my decision to stop hassling Christian about everything. He wraps me in a large towel and drapes one around his hips while I gingerly dry my hair. My head aches, but it's a dull, persistent pain that is more than manageable. I have some painkillers from Dr. Singh, but she's asked me not to use them unless I have to. As I dry my hair, I think about Elizabeth. I still don't understand why Elizabeth was involved with Jack.
I do,
Christian mutters darkly. This is news. I frown up at him, but I'm distracted. He's drying his hair with a towel, his chest and shoulders still wet with beads of water that glint beneath the halogens. He pauses and smirks.
Enjoying the view?
How do you know? I ask, trying to ignore that I've been caught staring at my own husband.
That you're enjoying the view?
He teases. No, I scold. About Elizabeth.
Detective Clark hinted at it.
I give him my tell-me-more expression, and another nagging memory from when I was unconscious surfaces. Clark was in my room. I wish I could remember what he said.
Hyde had videos. Videos of all of them. On several USB flash drives.
What? I frown, my skin tightening across my forehead.
Videos of him fucking her and fucking all his PAs.
Oh.
Exactly. Blackmail material. He likes it rough.
Christian frowns, and I watch confusion followed by disgust cross his face. He pales as his disgust turns to self-loathing. Of course, Christian likes it rough, too.
Don't!
The word is out of my mouth before I can stop it. His frown deepens.
Don't what?
He stills and regards me with apprehension.
You aren't anything like him.
Christian's eyes harden, but he says nothing, confirming that's exactly what he's thinking.
You're not.
My voice is adamant.
We're cut from the same cloth.
No, you're not.
I snap, though I understand why he might think so. His dad died in a brawl in a bar. His mother drank herself into oblivion. He was in and out of foster homes as a kid, in and out of trouble, too, mainly boosting cars, spent time in juvie.
I recall the information Christian revealed on the plane to Aspen. You both have troubled pasts, and you were both born in Detroit. That's it, Christian.
I fist my hands on my hips.
Anna, your faith in me is touching, especially in light of the last few days. We'll know more when Welch is here.
He is dismissing the subject.
Christian!
He stops me with a kiss.
Enough.
He breathes, and I remember the promise I made to myself not to hound him for information.
And don't pout,
he adds.
Come, let me dry your hair.
And I know the subject is closed. After dressing in sweatpants and a t-shirt, I sit between Christian's legs as he dries my hair. So, did Clark tell you anything else while I was unconscious?
Not that I recall.
I heard a few of your conversations. The hairbrush stills in my hair.
Did you?
He asks, his tone nonchalant.
Yes, my dad, your dad, Detective Clark, your mom.
And Kate?
Kate was there?
Briefly, yes. She's mad at you, too.
I turn in his lap.
Stop with the everyone is mad at Anna crap, okay?
Just telling you the truth,
Christian says, bemused by my outburst.
Yes, it was reckless, but you know, your sister was in danger.
His face falls.
Yes, she was.
Switching off the hairdryer, he puts it down on the bed beside him. He grasps my chin.
Thank you,
he says, surprising me.
But no more recklessness, because next time, I will spank the living shit out of you.
I gasp. You wouldn't.
I would.
He's serious. Holy cow. Deadly serious.
I have your stepfather's permission.
He smirks.
He's teasing me. Or is he?
I launch myself at him, and he twists so that I fall onto the bed and into his arms. As I land, pain from my ribs shoots through me, and I wince. Christian pales.
Behave,
he admonishes, and for a moment, he's angry.
Sorry,
I mumble, caressing his cheek. He nuzzles my hand and kisses it gently.
Honestly, Anna, you really have no regard for your own safety.
He tugs up the hem of my t-shirt, then rests his fingers on my belly. I stop breathing.
It's not just you anymore,
he whispers, trailing his fingertips along the waistband of my sweats, caressing my skin. Desire explodes, unexpected, hot and heavy in my blood. I gasp and Christian tenses, halting his fingers and gazing down at me. He moves his hand up and tucks a stray lock of hair behind my ear.
No,
he whispers.
What?
Don't look at me like that. I've seen the bruises, and the answer's no.
His voice is firm, and he kisses my forehead. I squirm.
Christian,
I whine.
No, get into bed.
He sits up.
Bed?
You need rest.
I need you.
He closes his eyes and shakes his head as if it's a great effort of will. When he opens them again, his eyes are bright with his resolve.
Just do as you're told, Anna.
I'm tempted to take off all my clothes, But then I remember the bruises, and I know I won't win that way. Reluctantly, I nod.
Okay.
I deliberately give him an exaggerated pout. He grins, amused.
I'll bring you some lunch.
You're going to cook? I nearly expire. He has the grace to laugh.
I'm going to heat something up. Mrs. Jones has been busy.
Christian, I'll do it. I'm fine. Geez, I want sex. I can certainly cook. I sit up awkwardly, trying to hide the flinch caused by my smarting ribs.
Bed.
Christian's eyes flash, and he points to the pillow.
Join me,
I murmur, wishing I were wearing something a little more alluring than sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Anna, get into bed. Now.
I scowl, stand up, and let my pants drop unceremoniously to the floor, glaring at him the whole time. His mouth twitches with humor as he pulls the duvet back.
You heard Dr. Singh. She said rest.
His voice is gentler. I slip into bed and fold my arms in frustration.
Stay,
he says, clearly enjoying himself. My scowl deepens. Mrs. Jones's chicken stew is, without doubt, one of my favorite dishes. Christian eats with me, sitting cross-legged in the middle of the bed. That was very well heated. I smirk and he grins. I'm replete and sleepy. Was this his plan?
You look tired.
He picks up my tray. I am.
Good. Sleep.
He kisses me.
I have some work I need to do. I'll do it in here if that's okay with you.
I nod, fighting a losing battle with my eyelids. I had no idea chicken stew could be so exhausting. It's dusk when I wake. Pale pink light floods the room. Christian is sitting in the armchair, watching me, gray eyes luminous in the ambient light. He is clutching some papers. His face is ashen.
Holy cow!
What's wrong? I ask immediately, sitting up and ignoring my protesting ribs.
Welch has just left.
Oh, shit.
And?
I lived with the fucker,
he whispers. Lived? With Jack? He nods, his eyes wide. You're related?
No. Good God, no.
I shuffle over and pull the duvet back, inviting him into bed beside me, and to my surprise, he doesn't hesitate. He kicks off his shoes and slides in alongside me. Wrapping one arm around me, he curls up, resting his head in my lap. I'm stunned. What's this? I don't understand, I murmur, running my fingers through his hair and gazing down at him. Christian closes his eyes and furrows his brow as if he's straining to remember.
After I was found with the crack whore, before I went to live with Carrick and Grace, I was in the care of Michigan State. I lived in a foster home, but I can't remember anything about that time.
My mind reels. A foster home? This is news to both of us. For how long? I whisper.
2 months or so. I have no recollection.
Have you spoken to your mom and dad about it?
No.
Perhaps you should. Maybe they could fill in the blanks. He hugs me tightly.
Here.
He hands me the papers, which turn out to be 2 photographs. I reach over and switch on the bedside light so I can examine them in detail. The first photo is of a shabby house with a yellow front door and a large gabled window in the roof. It has a porch and a small front yard. It's an unremarkable house. The second photo is of a family. At first glance, an ordinary blue-collar family, a man and his wife, I think, and their children. The adults are both dressed in dowdy, overwashed blue t-shirts. They must be in their 40s. The woman has scraped back blonde hair, and the man a severe buzz cut, but they are both smiling warmly at the camera. The man has his hand draped over the shoulders of a sullen teenage girl. I gaze at each of the children. 2 boys, identical twins, about 12, both with sandy blonde hair, grinning broadly at the camera. There's another boy who's smaller, with reddish blonde hair, scowling, and hiding behind him, a copper-haired, gray-eyed little boy, wide-eyed.